Thank you very much, Mr. Watts. Well, I made sure to put the sermonette on my iPad last night, so I opened it. I made sure I opened it up last night. And right now, I opened it thinking it was going to be there. And it just disappeared. But then the internet, it just kind of synced up and showed up again. So God gave me a little heart attack right before. All right, brethren. How do we arrive at our new covenant model for observing the days of unleavened bread? How does the church know what to do and what not to observe during the festival? Where do we get our new covenant understanding of this festival of unleavened bread and its spiritual implications for us today? The model for the days of unleavened bread begins in Exodus. In Exodus, we learn that the feast is 7 days long, and it begins on the 15th day of Abib. I believe that's the way you say it. The day after Passover. The first day is an annual Sabbath on which we do no work and gather for a special assembly before God. The last day is also an annual Sabbath on which we do no work and gather for a special assembly before God. During the entire 7 days, we are to have no leaven in our homes. Both the agent that causes leavening, which is yeast, and the resulting leaven product, which is bread. Instead, we are to eat without leavened bread for 7 days. Now, brethren, what was the spiritual message of the festival for Israel? In Exodus 12, verse 15 through 17, we recall that the Passover was a reminder to Israel of when God passed over them, when he struck down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. The days of unleavened bread was a reminder to Israel of God bringing them out of bondage in Egypt the following day. Eating unleavened bread would remind them each year of how they left in a rush to escape their terrible oppression in Egypt. What is the spiritual message of the festival for us today? Our new covenant application and spiritual understanding of the Feast of Unleavened Bread begins with Paul's letter to Corinth. There we hear the Church of God teaching the linkage between putting leavening or yeast out of our homes and our need to put evil thoughts and evil deeds out of our lives. And it's there where we get our first understanding of how eating unleavened bread reminds the church that all of us need to have Christ in our lives. Replacing what is evil with what is good. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 2 through 8. Paul chooses up the Corinthians, chooses them out regarding their puffed up pride in the matter of a man among them having sex with his stepmother. Instead of reacting with outrage or righteous indignation and shunning him, the Corinthian congregation were proud or puffed up and boasting. The word translated puffed up is from the Greek word phusio, I believe. It means to blow up or inflate with air. It comes from the word for what we today would call an air pump. Paul previously warned them not to think of the teachers of God in a competitive way, but as fellow servants working together. In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 6, he tells them not to be puffed up with pride over one another. If the Corinthians didn't stop this useless boasting, Paul warned of a sterner measures against those who were puffed up in 1 Corinthians, verse 4, 18 through 19. Public speaking was a primary source of entertainment in those days before television and movies. The average person took great delight in knowing and appreciating the finer points of giving an eloquent speech. They had their favorites, their rivalries. They were quite vocal about their preferences, just like fans of movie stars and athletes today. Some would say, I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, I follow Peter. What they were boasting about in 1 Corinthians 5, Paul does not explicitly say what proud statements were made here, But a very possible clue is found in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12 to 20. They had the idea that sex is a natural appetite meant to be satisfied, the idea that the sins of the body do not affect the spirit, affect the life of the spirit. Those are the ideas that they had. Both of these assumptions are alive today, brethren. You can see it all around the world. And they're still as wrong today as they were back then. I propose they badly misunderstood what it meant to be freed from the penalty of the law and the living in the grace of God, perhaps seeing themselves as free from all subsequential moral obligations, such as walking in God's commandments. Their reaction to this man's insidious fornication was to not judge him. They were perhaps proud of what they assumed was God-like patience and forgiveness. But forgiveness is not effective or useful for the forgiven unless they are brought to their senses and change their behavior. Paul says, yes, judge them and kick them out to boot. Maybe that will bring them to repentance and will end up doing him some good in the end. This must have happened around the days of unleavened bread in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 6 through 8. In the same context of him criticizing the evil behavior and their foolish pride based on misunderstandings of Paul's doctrine, bringing up yeast, bread, dough, and the process of leavening. It's a metaphor to drive home a point about how sin spreads. He says, don't let sin take root in the congregation. Don't let sin take root in your life. It may start off small, but like yeast, it will grow and start taking over our entire lives. But Paul is also clearly demonstrating that a new understanding of the spiritual understanding of the festival was being used in the church. The ritual act of putting out leaven reminds us of the spiritual necessity to put out sin and evil. What problem is Paul getting at when he's talking about something starting off small and then infiltrating and eventually taking over? As bad and gross as the sexual problem that appear, Paul zeroes in on their proud boasting, their false ideas about what it means to be redeemed from the penalty of the law and live in the grace of God, and how to deal with sin in their midst. Giving sin a free pass is not what Christ, our Passover lamb, died for. In verse 8, Paul teaches this non-Jewish group of believers, people who God called out of the Greek world with all its idolatry, saying, let us keep the feast of unleavened bread. Paul has taught Greek converts, new converts, followers of Christ, to observe this holy celebration, ordained by God, and he's using its symbols and commanded method of observance, eating only unleavened bread instead of leaven, to teach them a spiritual truth about dealing with sin. Let us keep the festival, not with the old yeast, the yeast of malice and wickedness, but with the bread without yeast, the bread of sincerity and truth, which would be like Christ. In conclusion, brethren, in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 through 13, Paul quickly makes a clarification, an important one for us to remember while we are focusing on putting out sin and evil out of our lives. The world is full of immorality, injustice, and false religious teachings. You cannot avoid interaction with these unless you physically isolate yourself from the world, a solution not promoted in Scripture. Coming out or separating yourself from the world is more of a matter of the mind and the spirit. The scriptural model for coming out of the world is to join into the body of Christ, to join the community of fellow believers as an alternative to fellowship with the world, and as a place to work out your salvation, not in splendid isolation, but in a social setting as God has established.